Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to see you. I've got a beard. Have you noticed? See, all things are possible. You go to Spain and forget your razor. That's what happens. And all the best people have beards. You know, Moses, Jesus, George Clooney, the women at the circus. Has anyone seen my Bible? It's blue and it's floppy and it's got my notes for this talking. We had a leaders meeting here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I remember doing that once before and it didn't come back. So, thank you, Lord. So, we're very excited about that conference. Who is excited about this? Nothing. We don't just do things here. We aren't just starting a church for the sake of it. We believe we're preparing our own hearts, our own marriages, our own families, and one another for revival. We believe that God is drawn together here, a group of people who he's training that will become, that can become, that he's giving the opportunity to become leaders in this revival. That's what I believe. There's only a few of us in this room, but there are many, many thousands of people coming. And someone needs to teach them and heal them and bless them and lead them and feed them. And guess what? It's you and me. It's a massive privilege. It's an awesome challenge. That's what we're about. We don't just run conferences and conferences. We don't do anything over and over again. We try and hear the Lord. And we think we've heard the Lord about having a conference here in England and in this room, actually, just to do with revival, to do with receiving more of the Holy Spirit. He's the one we need, isn't he? We need you, Holy Spirit. We do more and more and more and more. Do you think there's more for you in God? There absolutely is. There's more of God for you. And you must go and get it from him by prayer and faith and being in the right place at the right time. You receive blessings and anointing from God, which changes you, moves your life, and moves your whole family and everything on. You're different through being in the presence of God. I love that song, Release Your Roar. But I don't think of a lion and Aslan. I think of the roar of water. I think of the roar of a wave. I was just stood there singing that. I thought, oh yeah, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. Have you heard the roar of water? Unceasing water, 50-foot waves falling. Absolutely, massively loud. And the Holy Spirit is going to make a big noise in our nation. God is going to pour out his Holy Spirit. And he's doing it. He's beginning it. Revival begins in your heart. As you surrender your children and everything else. And as you overcome one battle after another. One difficulty after another. Nothing comes easy. Nothing's without cost. But it's nothing compared to the privilege of being sat where we're sat today. Absolutely believe that with all my heart. Amen. Book in for this conference. Get going because a lot of people are going to book in. And we're not opening it till Paul said to anyone else. So, we need to remember, Margaret, to book our two seats as quick as we can. And what else was I going to say? No, I think that was it. So should we open the Bible together? And I'm going to start a new series this morning. It's going to take us the next four weeks, at least 4 weeks when I'm speaking, that is. And that's to do with Abraham. And I want to teach you, I want the Holy Spirit's help to teach you how to live by faith, walk in faith, and expand and come into everything God's got for you. Does that sound good? Okay, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. We need you. We love you. We appreciate you. We lean on you. We rely on you. Thank you that you're a real person. Sent from Jesus to help us. God on earth, God in our midst, we worship you now. Come and teach us. Bring the mighty word of God to every person in this room. Let us not miss any moment where you want to touch us and change us. And let this morning be a moment where you speak into our hearts, Holy Spirit. We open our hearts to you. We need you. We need you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's read the call of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, you might want to stick up, so you've got Genesis chapter 12 up there, oh cool, is the first point, oh no, there's the preach, Awesome. Walking in vision. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 5. The Lord said to Moses, leave. Oh, sorry, thank you. See, the beard's throwing me. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew, Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And then if you just turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Where it does this big spiel about all the people of faith. Abraham's the father of faith. Verse 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. If you want to be a friend of God, if you want to walk with God and grow with God, faith is essential. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without a living faith that brings you into certain actions, you can't please God or know him. It's impossible to be static. And to have faith, you've got to be receiving from God the word of God and the vision of God into your life. God has a vision for your life. He has a plan for your life. It's an awesome vision, an awesome plan. It's better than your plan for your life. And connecting to that and walking in that is the way to have a blessed life. A blessed life is to know God and to end this life without regrets, knowing that you've done the will of God on earth and you're ready to go to your Father in heaven. That's a blessed life. And the way to have it is you need vision to leave, and you need faith to leave. That's the first thing you need. You need to be able to move from where you are. At the end of the day, you're either going to be a settler or a pioneer. If you're a settler, you're never going to reach the place God has for you in your life. You have to be willing to be uprooted and move. You have to be willing to go. You have to be willing to move from a nice, semi-detached, central heated house to a tent. You know, Abraham had vision from God to leave where he was. That's quite a leaving, actually. We know now because of not agriculture. What is it where they dig up cities? Architecture, that's right. Oh, sorry. Oh, Stuart, I've got your disease. Is there any lepers in today? But anyway, and we know that this city, Ur of the Chaldeans, was a sophisticated city. They had stone houses. They had an early form of central heating. They had running water to the houses. This was a city. He was settled. He was 75 years old. Do you think he was settled? He was settled all right. He had a wife, lovely wife, and he had a lot of family around him, nephews, and he had servants. He had wealth. Oh, he was settled all right. It's easy to settle and stay settled until God comes into your life and unsettles you by giving you a vision of more. There's more for you. There's more for you. that unsettles you. And he says at the age of 75 years old, somehow, Abraham, who was just really beginning his relationship with God, managed to convince his wife, not only his wife to live in a tent, I can't convince my wife to go in a tent for a week. And that's because I don't believe in it myself. But, you know, and all of his relatives, and he took all his people and his business and everything, and they suddenly set out. It says, not knowing where they were going. I mean, it's absolutely incredible, really. The stress, the tension he must have been under to convince his whole family and everyone, we're going where? To a land that this God will show me. He'll show me. So you just got to set out. Sometimes you just have to set out. It's true. Otherwise, you'll never get them all. You must develop what Abraham had, which was a burning desire for more. For more. He must have had that. In the midst of all his settledness, there was a wanting something more. Wanting something more for my family, for my marriage, for my nation, for my church. Look in the mirror, there's got to be more. There's got to be more for me. I'm not staying here. I'm not settling here. And if God speaks to me, I'm going. That's what God's doing with your life. That's why you sat in this room. That's why this is a pretty new church. So all of you have either just become a Christian. Awesome. That's a big move. Or you've moved from another church. That's a big move. You're moving. And you know what? We're moving as well. We're moving somewhere. We're going. We're en route. Don't get too comfortable here. We're not staying. This is just a tent. It's irrelevant. We're going where God tells us to go. And that can only happen if you have a burning desire to want more than this. More than this. Faith to leave. Vision to leave. God spoke to him. And then he received vision to leave where he was. You know, some of you, that means leaving a particular job. Particular friends. I can't stay here anymore. I can't live the life I've been living anymore. I'm going. Where are you going, Abraham? I'm not sure, but I'm going with God. I'm moving from where I am. That's a burning desire and a decision. It's the initial steps of faith to move because God is saying something to you. I'm unsettled. I've got to go for more. God said to me that I'm going to multiply, that he's going to create more through my life, that I'm going to be changed. Abraham himself was changed. You're changed on the journey. You're changed. You can't be changed sat where you're sat. You can only be changed as you move with God and choose to obey him and follow him. That's how this church started. This church started because we were unsettled and unrooted ourselves. I was fairly settled. I was settled in a sort of spiritual way as well. I was traveling the world, preaching, taking teams to different nations. I had a good job with a pretty good salary. I think I was on 35 grand, which was pretty good in the 90s. If you're on it, I wasn't a senior pastor, but I was on the staff of a church, fairly big church, the Oakwood Centre. That 35 grand was always spent because we had 9 kids, but we had a mortgage to pay every month. I was settled. I was teaching people. I was training evangelists, Pete Conroy, Graham, Stuart, training guys. It was working. It was awesome. It was awesome. But God unsettled me. One night I couldn't sleep. So I went and got in a hot bath. It was the middle of the night, freezing. So I got in a bath and I waited for God to speak. I knew God was in the room, in the bedroom and in the bathroom. So I waited for him to speak to me. And he spoke to me something and that's the reason we sat here this morning. He said, I want you to resign the church you're in. Step off the eldership. You're not going to work for any church. You're going to work for the church. I want you to live by faith. And learn to trust me. That was a big step for me. 6 months of talking it out with the leaders of the church. Very unpopular news to bring to the table. And lots of prophecies and God speaking. In the end, and in the midst of that, there was this prophecy brought to us, very significant prophecy. I was at a conference, me and Margaret at the front of this conference praying, oh God, help us, show us what to do. And this woman came up to us, she said, I just see these trees moving, like on Macbeth. The trees are moving and they're actually soldiers. And they're moving so slowly, no one seems to move it, moving, but it's an army that's being called together. It's an army moving. And you're two of these trees and you're being uprooted and you're moving. Wow, does that sound exciting? It should do, because you're one of the trees. You're the army. Oh, yeah, you are. And then 6 months later, after all this debate and talking with the elders and all that, eventually, very unhappily, they release me. I mean, they're not happy about it. They say, you're not getting any blessing of money. We're not going to help you at all. They were not happy. I'd worked there for 15 years and didn't get a penny blessing or anything. They never took a collection, anything. 1 month, I had a mortgage to pay, and I was earning my normal wage. The next month, zero, as they say in Spain. Nothing. And that began 6 years of us living by faith. We were moving. The first, you know what? I had no invitations to speak anywhere or anything. But the week that it all happened, loads of invitations came to speak. And I'd love to tell you that 6 years was dead easy. It wasn't. It was a stretching, challenging time of living by faith. God said, ask no one for any money. We never did for 6 years. Charge no church anything and don't write newsletters. So we didn't. We prayed and tested God. And trusted God. You know what? I do not recommend this unless God has spoken. But you know what? In 6 years, we paid our mortgage every month. We never missed a Christmas. We never missed a holiday. We're 9 kids. That is many thousands of pounds, I assure you. 6 years. One of the first places we went, I got an email off this guy I didn't know called Alari Alikas from Estonia saying, will you come and preach in Estonia? I thought, huh? Where the heck's Estonia? And you know what? Is it God? It's just God. Isn't it exciting? At the end of those 6 months, from just being released to go and live by faith, we went around Jill and Franco's for a meal. Because Jill, Franco's Sicilian, knows how to cook. I recommend anyone who wants a meal, just head there. And we were regularly around there having our usual pasta and God is food. And we prayed at the end of the night. And Jill, you know, really prophetic, she said, I just have this picture of trees moving. It's from that movie, Lord of the Rings. I thought, oh, different. I thought it was going to be Macbeth. And it's an army that God's stirring up, and they're going to war. It's not moving fast, but it's moving, and it's going to have devastating effect. And you know, is that exciting? You're here, and then you know what? Other people get uprooted. Stuart's uprooted. Tom, you were uprooted from your church. You were uprooted from your nation. Stephen, you've been uprooted. You even left your job. There's stuff happening. Tom and Laura uprooted. Ian and Carolyn agonizingly uprooted from their church. They were brought up as kids with tears and cost. It wasn't easy. It isn't easy for Abraham at 75 years of age to start following God. And it isn't easy today. But we're not in this for easy, are we? We're in this for revival. We're in this to see the church triumphant in this land and in Europe. We're in this because we believe in God. And through our life, we'll prove it. We are weak. We are very weak. Sinners, failures, but you know what? It's grace. Keeps the trees moving. We can make mistakes. We can do all sorts of things. But God, brothers and sisters, is among us. I want to tell you, if you're in this room, you're in a very prophetically significant place to be. I don't believe anyone's here by accident. If you're here for the first day, who are you? You've been drawn in to something that's absolutely awesome and will cost you absolutely everything. It's a wonderful privilege to be part of the army of the Lord. These things only happen through vision. Do you understand? Abraham had a vision, and that vision had to be confirmed and expanded. So does ours all the time. It does. The second thing you need is vision to believe. And you need to believe by seeing. You've got to see what God's doing in able to believe that. So Abraham, you know, his faith is it's developing, it's shaking. He's not perfect. He's a sinner. He lies. He tries to do things in the flesh. But God is with him by grace. He's not going to leave him until he's done for him what he's promised. And same for us. Genesis chapter 15. One of his God encounters. En route, Abraham starts building altars, having encounters with God. God appears, gives him some more vision. God appears, speaks to him. God appears, speaks to him. As you go on a journey with God, God keeps meeting you. You build altars, surrender to God. He meets with you, speaks to you, gives you more vision. That's how your life develops. That's how your ministry develops. That's how your life with God develops. You have encounters with God. I believe this conference for us is going to be an encounter with God. I believe we're going to be changed through it. I believe God's picked the speakers. I do. We were trying to get Duncan and Kate Smith to come. We wanted someone prophetic, someone who loves the Holy Spirit and the anointing, someone to challenge us, someone on the edge. So we thought Duncan and Kate, our friends. You know what? They couldn't come. We were in the leaders' meeting, and we said, look, guys, what we're going to do? You know, who is this? And Tom Richter said to us, you know what? I think I could get Ken and Lewis got to come. The friends of mine. We said, you know what? Try. I went home. I said to Margaret, you know what? Do you know who we're inviting to the conference? See if we'll come. I said, Ken and Lewis Scott. She says, no way. She said, I've just been praying, doing the ironing, doing the washing, because that's what you do, ladies. You pray as you do the washing. Otherwise, you get no time to pray. And she's praying, and she said, Lord, we need some. Margaret said, Lord, we need someone prophetic for this conference. Who is it? And the Lord said to her, Lewis Scott. And then I came in and said that. I think God's going to speak through Lewis God to us. And it's going to be awesome. Stephen Moses. You know, I've only met him once. He's a brother of Andrew's. And he was part of Andrew's sort of band of brothers who grew up together in India. Men of God. Men of the Holy Spirit. Men of faith. Bold men. You know what? One coffee with him, I was utterly convinced. This guy's coming to speak to us. He's from like word of faith background, bold evangelist. We need the spirit and the word, don't we? I think Andrew's going to speak faith. I do believe you were going to as well, and you already do. But Stephen is going to speak faith into our mix. And then we got Velio to come as well, which was absolutely miraculous. Velio from Olivista Church. Many of you have read the book Olivista. The last great revival in Europe was in that church, where I've got the massive privilege of preaching next Sunday morning. It's a phenomenal, it's like a cathedral. Count Zinzendorf preached in this church. Billy Graham's preached in this church. Martin Riddick's preached in this church. It's an absolutely phenomenal place. It's a blessed church. And they're young, well, young, you know, he's 40. It's kind of young when you get to my age. But he's young evangelist is coming with his daughter, Sarah. He's going to be speaking to us, sharing with us what happened in the 70s in that revival, and also praying for us. Is it exciting? I think just get it. It's like jogging along. I'll leave that. I'll get a drink later. No, I wouldn't if I were you. Get there. We need the Holy Spirit. How does vision come? Through the Holy Spirit. God said to Abraham, Genesis 15, verse 5. Look up at the heavens and count the stars if you can count them. This is how many offspring you will have. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited him as righteousness. God showed him a vision. He took him out. Come on, Abraham, look up. How many stars can you see? Abraham's struggling. His faith's struggling. You know, I've been walking through the land. I've uprooted my people. You can get discouraged, can't you? Do you get discouraged on the way? Does anyone else get discouraged? Are we ever going to get into Teesside Park? Is he ever going to change? Am I ever going to see my kids on fire for God? Am I ever going to... Well, Abraham didn't start till he was 75, so be encouraged. And you get discouraged. Abraham was discouraged. His faith was tested. He was struggling. God said, come on, let me show you something, Abraham. I know you haven't had a kid yet. It was a while ago when I said, and I know you'd be walking around dragging the whole gang with you, but listen, come outside a minute. Look up. That's how many children you're going to have. And that was imprinted on his spirit. And then he said, you see the sand on the shore of the sea? You see the dust of the earth? That's how many children you're going to have. It's like Abraham couldn't get away from that vision then. If you looked down, sand. If you looked up, stars. Down, sand. Whether you're down or up, what matters is that you receive vision for your life from the Holy Spirit. Without vision, people perish. Without vision, you don't know where you're going. Let me ask you a question. Where are you going next for God? What is he doing with you? You need to know. How do you know? First of all, you get a burning desire that there is more for you. That puts you in places where you need to be. Secondly, you need the Holy Spirit. Paul was saying to me on the plane on the way home, just about a really very low time in his life. When he came out of prison, he was a Christian, really struggling with the world and back in and out a bit. And he said to me, do you know what? It was make or break time. And you came around the flat and said to me, the kingdom doesn't need you, you know, Paul. The church will exist without you. You need to make a decision. I said, what did I say that? Sounds like me, very pastoral. And he said, yeah, you did. And he said, he was really low. He said, and then, you know, the next morning, I put this video on of Benny Hinn. He said, I didn't like Benny Hinn. I saw him in prison. And I thought, don't like that guy. But I stuck this video on, and I saw Benny Hinn heal a deaf girl on this stage. And that was like the turning point for me. I was moved. I got on my knees. I prayed and repented. And I said, yeah, because you had a vision. He went, huh? I said, you saw your future. Who heals people now? Him. Who's on the platforms now? Not as big as Benny Hinn's yet. Him. Because he saw that happening. That's the Holy Spirit saying, do you want a bit? Would you like to preach like this? Would you like to heal like this? Do you want to be part of my army, part of my force? Do you want to get in on the action? And in your spirit, God speak, the Holy Spirit calls you. And you, yeah, yeah. Can it be? Can it be? It is. It already is. Everyone he prayed for in Spain got healed. Sometimes in the gypsy church, you've got a whole bunch of people together, all sorts of things. Now, boom, we're all crying their eyes out. Who's healed? Everyone. Everyone's healed. I got healed. I wasn't even sick. He's anointed, full of faith, full of vision. He's not unusual. You're as anointed as him. You are. There's nothing special about any of us. But there's something awesomely special about the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your best friend and the deepest love of your life. Don't grieve him. Don't ignore him. He's not the silent partner in your business. He's the senior partner in the business. He's the senior leader of this church. He's the senior leader in your life. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Speak to him every day, every morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. He's with you. Listen, brothers and sisters, for 4,000 years, God the Father led the field on earth, speaking to Moses, bringing the law, communicating to his people. He led the field. For 33 years, Jesus, the Son of God, led the field, grabbed the baton and stood at the front and lived life as a man and preached the gospel and healed the sick and brought more revelation of God and died on the cross and rose again, ascended into heaven. Then the day of Pentecost came. And from then on, for the last 2,000 years, every day the Holy Spirit is leading the field. He is the one you need. He is the one you need in your heart, in your marriage, in your family. This person, he is a person. He's not an experience, not a power. He's not the gift of tongues. He's not the gift of tongues. I speak in tongues, wonderful, but are you best friends with the Holy Spirit? Does anyone want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? You need to be filled with him every single day. Unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, you lose your fire. You lose the excitement. You're not going to be excited to get up in the morning and pray and read your Bible and book him for the conference. I don't care if it's 30 quid. I don't care if it's 300 quid. That's when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It is. You're not counting pennies. You are diving into God with all of your heart. You're not getting, you're giving, you're hungry. You're on fire with God. You're full of love, you're full of joy, you're full of peace. You know, that's why the devil, I was saying to the guys on the trip, you know, the devil tries to get you to sin, tempt you to sin, not to rob you of your salvation. He's not thick. I mean, some of us are thicker than him, you know. Some of us think we can lose that. He's not tempting you to sin for you to lose your salvation. He's tempting you to sin so you lose your joy. Oh, he's after your joy, the devil. Because if you lose your joy, you lose your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the joy of the Holy Spirit that makes you want to pray, want to read your Bible, want to invite your friends to church, want to heal the sick, want to forgive your enemies. It's the joy of the Holy Spirit that gives you strength, and he is the one that gives you vision. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you, brothers and sisters? Soak in his presence. Do some Holy Spirit sunbathing. He is our sun and our shield. I've been praying that loads lately. I love that. David and Abraham, actually. I am your shield and your exceeding reward. He is my sun. Does the sun make you feel happy? Does it do you good? Does it bring life to the earth? Does it bring joy to the... He is your son. Stand in his presence. Be in the presence of the Lord and receive vision. That's what Band of Brothers, Band of Sisters is about. So you keep receiving prophetic vision. So you keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. So you keep excited to do the work of God. That's how the church works. Every time the early church got stuck, they went back to prayer. Pray, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Does anyone want to pray more? Me too. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Help us. Help us be full of joy and totally positive. We need a totally positive attitude. You know that? That only comes from the Holy Spirit. You need an attitude where that song becomes reality to you. All things are possible. All things are possible. That's a positive attitude. Comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not wishful thinking. It comes from the vision of God for your life. Abraham began to believe. All things are possible. All things are possible. And it began to change him. It changes you. Faith. Have you ever wondered how Sarah was always getting called beautiful? She was 65 years old when they set off. And all these kings want her in the harem. And Abraham's worried because you're just so beautiful. You're just so beautiful. Do you know what my theory is? When you receive vision from God, it gives you life, energy, vitality, life. She was beautiful. She was buzzing because she had a husband who was meeting God, engaging with God, believing in God for her. And she was getting filled with life. She was going to conceive. Not a conception like Mary's. Not a normal human conception with Abraham, because life was moving through her again because of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we need the Holy Spirit. And lastly, you know, if you want to be a pioneer, not a settler, you want to move with God, then, you know, vision helps you endure. It's not easy. It never is, but the option of not enduring is settling. Who wants to settle? You know, Lot was a settler. You can settle here if you want. It was a great 3 years, and I'm just a bit tired now. I think I'll just settle. Let me tell you the story of Yongyi Chow. Some of you will know it. He started the world's biggest church. And it wasn't easy. Yongyi Chow started his tent ministry with five people in his church in a tent and built it up through prayer and faith and preaching the gospel and through many struggles to 12,000 people. Does that sound good? 12,000! Woohoo! He was buzzing. He walked into his office one day. He had a nice house, nice car, senior pastor, 12,000 members. He walked into his office one day and he said, "Now I'm happy. I could live like this for the rest of my life." The Holy Spirit spoke straight to him. He said, "Okay, me and you are done then." "Huh? What's wrong?" "Well, if you're settled, I'll go and find someone who isn't settled and I'll anoint them instead." He said, "Oh, I didn't say that." The Holy Spirit spoke to him again. "Here's what I want you to do. Resign this church. Start again. The other side of the city." He was absolutely devastated. He said, "Lord, you've got to be joking. I've started two churches already. Find someone else. Find someone else." He said, "I want you to start a church over the other side of the city where they were just building that part of the city. They were modeling it on Manhattan. It was a bit of island in the city of Seoul, and they were building it like Manhattan. It was the most expensive land you could possibly get. God said, I want you to build it there." And he told his elders. They all thought he was having a nerves breakdown. Said, "You absolutely got to be totally joking." But he kept telling them until he did it. He was praying and he said, "Lord, I need some money then to buy the land. And he started. We've got absolutely no money. You're going to have to help us." Even though they had 12,000 members, it was all spent. They had $2,000 in the bank, American dollars. They said, we need some money to start. And God said, "Well, you sow the seed." He said, "I've got any money." He said, "You've got your house. Sell your house, sow the seed of faith." And that house was important to him because he saved up till he was 30 years old. He got married and he gave that house as a wedding gift to his wife. He gave her the deeds and everything was in her name. So he went home to talk to his wife. And he wrote that she brought him some cookies and biscuit and said, "Good morning, good afternoon, dear." And he says, "Well, I've got something to talk to you about." And she said, "What's that?" He said, "You know, God's told me to start this new church." "Yeah, I know that. And he's told me to sow the seed of money first." "Yeah. And he told me to sell the house." She took the cookies and the tea, went back in the kitchen. She came back. She was so angry. She said, "I can't trust you. You promised me this house and our wedding. I've got this, all I've got in the world. I love this house. Our children are here. I'm not selling this house." So Yongyi Chow went back to the Lord. He said, "I told you. So maybe I don't have to plant the church now." And he said, "For 2 weeks, I just prayed for my wife, didn't say anything, and I heard her turning on the bed, till in tears she came to him, tears pouring down her cheeks with the deed of the house, and said, 'The Holy Spirit has told me to give you this house. Thank you, dear.'" And they moved out of their house. Do you think this was easy? They moved out of their nice house and lived in the building site for the next couple of years. And it was the worst time of his life. It was 5 years till that church was built. You can go visit it today. 12,000 seats. A university. 10-story education block. Millions and millions of dollars. He thought once he'd sowed the seed of faith, it would be easy, but it wasn't. The money didn't come easy. After that, there was the Six-Day War in Israel. And the oil prices collapsed. The dollar collapsed. Everyone was losing their jobs. People were leaving his church. There was no money anywhere. Many times he had to go to court for not being able to pay the contractors. Do you think it's easy to build the world's greatest church? It isn't. It's not easy to follow God. On one occasion, he was going to go bankrupt. It was like the lowest point. his secretary came in, this guy, and said to him, the bank needs $500,000, $500,000, by the end of today. If it doesn't get it, we're going to prison. But I'm going home. And he left. Yong Yi-Chao was on his own. He rang his wife. He said, this is it now. Today I'm finished. She said, he said, during this time, many, many people came to him, told him to forget his vision, forget his dream, go back to his old church. Do you think Abraham could have gone back? Of course he could have gone back. He had the opportunity to go back, it says in Hebrews. The honor of the opportunity. Brothers and sisters, you will have the opportunity to go back to your old life many times. But he rang his wife and she said to him, leave the country. She said, get on a plane, go to Japan. I'll find a way there. You're not going to prison. He said, no, I can't do that. She said, thousands of people have put their trust in me and believed in me all these years. If I go to prison, I go to prison. He put the phone, he said, right, God, this is it now. This is not funny. Are you laughing? This is not funny. I need $500,000. I need it now. I need it now. Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. He got a seed idea of the Holy Spirit, an idea. To go to this certain bank where they'd done business and talk to the director of the bank and demand that he gave him £500,000 loan that moment. He was absolutely, he was almost delirious with stress. He got to the bank. This is the true story of how it happens, of how the kingdom actually comes. He got to the bank a 5:15. It was closed. All the banks were closing at 6. He went to the woman and said, I need to see the director of the bank. She said, have you got an appointment? He said, no. She said, you see that queue there? Those people have been waiting all day to see the director of this bank. She said, where are you from? He said, I'm from the highest possible authority. She thought, oh, the president? So she rang. This is the true story how it happened. She rang the director of the bank. He said, send him up. Send him up. I thought it was from the president of the country. Sent him up. He walked in. He said, hello, where are you from? The president. He said, no, I'm from someone far higher than that. I'm from Almighty God. So the bloke just looked at him. He said, and God has told me to ask you for $500,000 loan right now. He said, have you got any assets? He said, no. Have you got any backing, any money? No. He said, sit down there. He called some of his directors in. They said, absolutely no chance. They said, you can't do that. It's illegal. You're not allowed to do that. You can't lend him any money. And they went out. When they went out, this man looked at him. He said, there's something about you that I like. He said, I can't put my finger on it. You're a very bold man. And I'm attracted to that. He said, you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to do something that I've never done before, and I promise you I'll never do it again. I'm going to write for you a £500,000 check from my personal bank account. That empties my bank account, but I'm going to do it because I like you for some reason. Yong Yi-Chao said, you won't be disappointed. He said, when this church grows, I'll get all of my members to bank with you. And you will be blessed because of us. And he did. And he was. He gave him £500,000 personal check. Yong Yi-Chao raced round the corner to his own bank and put it in 5:05. And the bank closed. Many years later, when Yong Yi-Chao had 750,000 members in his church, an old man came into his office. He said, Pastor, do you remember me? He said, no. He said, I wrote you a personal check for $500,000. Now I want you to help me. He said, what can I do for you? He said, my wife is here. She's dying of terminal cancer. Yong Yi-Chao said, bring her in. He explained to them about Jesus and salvation and led them both to the Lord. They weren't Christians. And then he laid his hands on her, and in the name of Jesus, she was instantly healed. Instantly healed of cancer. And they became members of his church until the day they went to heaven. Is God awesome or is God awesome? If you sow, you reap. If you follow God, you will go through many troubles to achieve what he's going to do. But it's worth it. You'll see the miracles of God. You'll see the miracles of God. Brothers and sisters, listen. God is doing miracles right here today. I feel stirred by the Holy Spirit to pray. To pray in particular for 1,000 people in our church. Look around, that's a big jump. 1,000 people by the end of, you know, by the end of 15 years. No. I felt as though the Holy Spirit say, and I didn't say I'm giving you. You've got to go get it by faith and prayer. Will you help me? 500 people by the end of this year. And 1,000 people by the end of the next year. That's what I'm moved to pray for. And I want you to pray with me and join with me. One of the jumping stones towards that is us being absolutely blasted with the Holy Spirit and moving to another gear. I think that's the conference. Building up towards the conference, I'm going to do some prayer meetings down here. Every day of the week, 5 a.m. Apparently God's up at 5 a.m. Some of the guys didn't think he was, but I think he is. 5 a.m. till 7 a.m. We need to be getting moving by 7 a.m. because we need to get kids to school and stuff, don't we? But if you don't have anything on between 5 and 7 and you'd like to come for those mornings, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then I'll be here with whoever else wants to. And we're going to pray for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit at this conference. We want your lives to be changed. You know, some of these messages, I was going to speak to the leaders. When I was in Spain, the Holy Spirit said to me, you are the leaders. You are the ones who need to know this stuff and walk in this stuff. Because of the thousands and thousands of people who are going to come, you have the opportunity to grow, be healed, buy into what's happening, get yourself sorted. Do what you need to do. Learn faith and God and the Holy Spirit and be willing and ready to lead other people. You can do it. If you think you're too old, you're totally wrong. Totally wrong. Abraham was 75 when he began. If you think you're too young, you're absolutely wrong. God can use and does use anyone. The offer is to you, all of you. And it's up to you to get hold of it with all your heart. Don't settle like Lot. You know, Lot settled and it cost him his family. Do you know that? Abraham kept living in the tents. Lot looked and, oh, Sodom. It's all green, city. I've had enough of tents. Come on, family. Let's go back to the city. Let's go to Sodom. And it cost him his family. David was the greatest king Israel ever had. But he massively fell into sin when he settled. When he was fighting. When he was fighting, you couldn't stop David. He was fighting. David's remit was to go all the way to the Euphrates. That's what God promised Abraham. Not the little land of Israel. From the river of Egypt to the Euphrates. That's what belongs to them. The whole lot. David was en route, but he started to settle palace life. You go fighting, guys. I'm going to just fall. Bang. Adultery. Satan. Darkness. Death. Murder. What did it cost him? Well, his family. Not his salvation, not his relationship with God, but it cost him his family. And his advancement stopped there. It did. Brothers and sisters, don't stop where you are. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Learn how to do it. Keep believing. Keep sharing. Keep seeking God. Because God's still speaking to you and calling you. Let's stand.